And so this morning, I just wanted to really kind of, I want to touch on a principle to keep in mind that I think is consistent with this passage and various other passages. And then I also just want to give an example from Scripture of how, as I was preparing for this, of course, you know me, I love details. I love going, like, I could take you to all these different passages, and we could talk about so many different facets about judgment and all these various things. But I just really felt like the Lord really impressed a particular story from the book of Acts upon my heart to communicate the type of heart posture we ought to have when we go around and we try to make good, faithful evaluations and assessments. And in this case, like many were able to draw, more specifically from this group, kind of like this medical aspect, like this type of actually helping people, that type of correction. We get a really good example from the book of Acts about that. But anyways, real fast, what I really want us to constantly remember is that all throughout the Scriptures, the Lord really does lay out this principle of do unto others as you would want done unto yourself, right? Treat others the way in which you want to be treated. If anything you don't want happening to you, you definitely shouldn't be going and doing that to other people, right? And Jesus laid out this principle to us in various ways, right? Just as you believe that your heavenly Father loves the just and the unjust, so you also should love the just and the unjust. Just as you expect your Father in heaven to forgive you, you ought to extend that same forgiveness to others. Welcome others, just as Christ Jesus has welcomed you. With the comfort that you have received from God, comfort others. Right? I was mentioning it a little earlier. As much as you desire God to seek you out, seek to be like your Heavenly Father and intentionally seek out others. Just as you desire for the Spirit to lead you and guide you unto all truth, be enthusiastic and be excited about opening up God's Word and trying to help others come to the knowledge of truth and see things in Scripture. Right? We get this constant parallel in Scripture of treat others the way in which you desire God to treat you. And definitely treat others the way in which God has treated you. Right? In the book of Micah, the Lord, he's getting on the people of Israel. And what he says, have I not actually revealed unto you what is good and what I desire? And he talks about a few things. He says, love justice, seek mercy. Right? Actually, I want to make sure I quote it correctly. He says, he has told you, humanity, what is good and what Adonai is seeking for you, only to practice justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. These very things that we've been talking about, right? God, who is perfect in all of his ways, his measure of judgment is always perfect, right? He always justly judges, and he always judges correctly. But even with that being said, we also know what is at the forefront of God's mind and what is just permeating from his heart is that even when he pronounces judgment and he judges rightly, his heart is set on what? Showing mercy, compassion, forgiveness, seeing people restored. God has no desire in seeing the wicked perish. I want to be careful how I say it, but I think the overarching counsel of God's Word would tell us that it grieves God's heart when he has to actually come down and give people what they deserve, even though he's just in doing it. And when a judge in our day puts a wicked person in prison, we rejoice, right? That person is a good judge. But God's heart is one of, even though he gives just judgments and his measures are always perfect, his heart is set on restoration, forgiveness, mercy, and compassion. And that's the thing that the Pharisees were struggling with. They were ready to come down on people with the book. They were ready to tell you exactly what it was and what it isn't, what you're doing wrong and what you should do. But there wasn't grace and mercy and humility and restoration in mind. They just wanted to correct you and show you why they're the religious leaders and you're not. Why you should listen to them instead of going your own way. Right? And so I just want us to be very careful on how we judge others, because we are being reminded the way in which you judge others, the measures in which you use, you can expect for God to measure it back to you. Right? When we pray this, the Lord's Prayer, I've mentioned this before, Father, forgive us as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. What we're asking is, God, the same measure of forgiveness I show is the measure by which I desire for you to extend towards me. And then Jesus goes on and he says, if you do not forgive, your Father will not forgive you. Right? And so all throughout Scripture, we get this principle that God is wanting us to constantly keep in mind. Treat others as I treat you. And treat others the way in which you desire to be treated by me. Learn from me. See what's in my heart. His desire for mercy, compassion, forgiveness, reconciliation, restoration, right? Redemption. Something that I always try to tell people, because you know, various circles, and when you're dealing with church leadership, right? Like, church discipline is a real thing. But I tell people, if your heart is not set on seeing that person restored, you have no business trying to exercise church discipline towards them. If you just want to cut them down and excommunicate them, and you want to see them off in the weeds or whatever the case may be, you have no business in trying to execute any form of church discipline whatsoever. Your heart has to be set on loving them. So I hope that that's all clear. So real quick, I want to bring us over to a very familiar passage in Acts chapter 17. If you have a photographic memory, then you already know what I'm talking about. You know, if you don't, it's okay. Right? Paul is in Athens. Right? And this is that surgical language, right? I really like what Justin drew out of, like, this idea of, has more to do with actually trying to help people, make a good assessment, right? Doctors have to judge what's going on and what's the best help and what's the best practice, right? But if a doctor is set on just making tons of money, it might be a beam and you can't really see what's going on and he gives you bad prescriptions, you know, anyway. Get off on a tangent. But anyways, so Paul, he's walking through Athens, right? Stirred up in his spirit as he's ministering to, you know, the diaspora, trying to reason with the Jews in the synagogue, and he's stirred up in his heart, and he takes a stroll through Athens. And he's walking around, right? And he sees all of these idols. Paul knows in his mind, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and you shall not make for yourselves graven images, right? Paul knows the book. And he could judge justly and say, man, these guys are idol worshippers. Right? These guys worship false gods. These people are worshiping principalities and powers of the air and demonic spirits that are misleading them, and they're not worshiping the one true and living God, and they deserve to be condemned and sent to hell for what they are doing. Right? He could know these things in the back of his mind, but that's all, like, because, you know, we are told what is the end for those who love falsehood, right? To those who go after a lie, to those who do not repent and turn from their wicked ways and receive God's grace and mercy. Like, we know the outcome, we know the punishment, we know the judgments, and God be the judge, right? He's the only one who's going to be able to judge justly. Right? But what I really want us to see is how Paul, he examines what's going on, right? And he takes in an evaluation of the people. And he seeks to make a just judgment towards them, but his heart is set on mercy and compassion and forgiveness and grace and the people coming to the knowledge of truth. Right? So he doesn't show up and say, you know what? I was walking around, I see all these idols, you know, you guys are a bunch of idol worshipers. I mean, you guys are so clueless and so afraid that you even have one that doesn't even have a name on it. It's just the unknown God because you're too worried about missing one. You guys are a bunch of idiots. Right? Like, that would be a form of ungodly and wicked judgment, in my opinion. Right? That is judgment that does not have a heart set on mercy and compassion and forgiveness and kindness and gentleness and a desire to see people come to the knowledge of truth. And so what does he do? He makes an assessment And he goes to the people. He says, I see that you're very religious. And I even noticed that, you know, as I was looking around at all of your statues and your monuments to these gods that you worship, I noticed that you had one that said, to the unknown. Well, I want to tell you about this unknown God and how awesome he is and how good he is. You have breath in your lungs because of him. He is the creator and maker of heaven and earth. And this is what he has done, right? And he goes on and he's reasoning with the people that this unknown God in which you do not know, I know. And he loves you so much that he sent his own son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. And then the God the Father raised this man from the dead and has promised unto us that if we would receive his testimony, right, we will receive through him not only the forgiveness of sins, but the gift of immortality, right? Now, if you read Acts 17, everything that I just said is not necessarily there, but as you look at the whole counsel of God's Word and you see various places that Paul shared the gospel, I'm assuming that he eventually said such things, right? Because it says that he was talking about the resurrection, and they say, whoa, these strange teachings, this foreign God, right? So I'm obviously filling in the blank, but what I hope that you see is that Paul understood what was going on. He took time to understand the people and where they were at. He made a good judgment. He had a good measure of judgment. And his heart was set on grace and mercy and compassion. And seeing these people come to the knowledge of truth instead of ostracizing them and condemning them. Right? And so I pray that this is our heart posture. As we're going about our day, right? And we're seeing people and seeing the things that people are going through, the pain points in people's life, things that we're saying, man, I see what's going on. Like, you're in so much pain, and I see what's going on in your, like, you got a speck in your eye, but being humble and taking the time to really get to know them and understand, how did that speck get there in the first place? Okay, what is it? Is it a piece of metal? Is it a piece of dust? Does it just need a light, you know, can you just, you know, blow it out or rinse it out, right? There's all these different little examples that you can give, but what I really want to press home to us is that we should love people so much that we really genuinely get invested in the lives of the people that we want to help and be humble in the process and remember God's heart towards us and how he didn't necessarily crush us with the book, but he came alongside us by his Spirit and convicts us of sin and righteousness so that we would recognize and repent and turn from it and understand that he wants what's best for us. Right? There's a proverb that says, a person who meddles in business that has nothing to do with them is like a guy who grabs a passing dog by the ear. Right? And in a lot of ways, the Pharisees were like that. They were grabbing a bunch of brothers and sisters from the land of Israel by the ear as they walked by. They wanted to point out all these issues and meddle in everyone's business without really getting to know them and understand where they're coming from and what's going on in their lives and how really helping them might look like, right? And so we've all heard the expression, don't judge a book by its cover. Well, I want to reiterate that and hopefully say it in such a way where it produces action. Don't make a judgment until you've read the whole book. And even then, try to find the good in it. Try to see the things that you can use in such a way to recognize and affirm good things in them, and then gently lead them and guide them and steer them in such a way that it leads unto truth. Right? So this is what I have for us today. And I pray that it was encouraging. I pray that it was a blessing. I pray that it's edifying. And I certainly was edified by everything I heard come out of y'all's mouth this morning. Really blessed. I'm really thankful that we do what we do here at the gathering. Take the time to get together and study the passage and see how we see things and how we come to certain conclusions. Right? And so I'm really blessed. And I'm so thankful that all of you see the value of this time and coming and gathering here on Sundays to be able to just have fellowship and look at the Word and try to understand what is it that our Master is calling us to. and not just talk about it, but hopefully every time we leave from here, we walk away with this real sense of, Lord, help me actually live these things out. Help me honestly seek your face, humbly love the people around me, and seek to really just live this out. And that's my hope. That's all I could ever hope for, right? Obviously, sometimes you feel like there's a burden to try to like make sure that, oh, did they understand every little detail, and did they know where this passage is connected to this passage? And that is all good. But at the end of the day, my greatest desire is that we would be seeking to walk the way in which Christ has called us to walk. And the truth is the more we faithfully seek to walk with the Lord, the ways in which he's called us to walk with him, thoughts, ideas, understanding, putting certain pieces of the puzzle together, all that comes in time, right? And so, like I said, even getting back to what I said earlier with the passage in Hebrews, let's stir one another up unto love and good works. Let's really be like Christ, you know? And let's not fight and argue and judge all the time over particular theologies and all these different things that we like to argue about, or, you know, different stances in life. Let's get back to the heart issue. Do you know Christ? Do you love him? And are you seeking to be like him in this world? That's what really matters. So let's pray. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would certainly remove any beam from our lives that is obstructing our view to be able to see you and to see others the way in which you desire us to see you and others. And we also pray that even as we seek to be faithful to call people into repentance, as we seek to be faithful to make good and just judgments with proper measures, may we be humble before you and humble before others, vulnerable, willing to even acknowledge our own shortcomings and give testimony about how you have worked in our lives in removing specks and splinters from our own eyes in order to really see people be restored and to find forgiveness, not only with you, but with others and ourselves. And so, Father, we just pray that as we seek justice, that we would also love mercy and walk humbly before you and before others. So we love you, and we just ask that we would be more like your Son each and every day, and we pray for your Spirit to fill us and lead us and enable us to actually live all this out the way that we know you would want us to. And like the Sermon on the Mount reveals to us, that we could actually be like your citizens of your kingdom, which is coming, which is in the world now and expanding, but also that we may be a light to this world. And so we pray these things, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus.